There's an alarming new report out in Politico today, and it had me scratching my head because, of course, it didn't sound like Speaker Mike Johnson when Politico reported that he actually might be against getting warrants for FISA. Now, as you know, yesterday we talked about it on the show. It's up for a vote this week in the House, and well, it's likely to not pass. The vote specifically is for warrants for FISA, as many of you know. And well, according to Politico, Speaker Mike Johnson's staffer told a group of GOP staff today that he opposes warrant requirement amendment at the center of this week's 702 debate. And there's two people that they're saying were familiar with what took place in that conversation. Now, it's weird, right? Why would Mike Johnson, a constitutional attorney, not be for this? Obviously, FISA goes against your constitutional rights, the Fourth Amendment, of course. So it doesn't really make much sense. So I reached out to Speaker Johnson's office. I both called and emailed, and I haven't heard back. Strange. Joining me to discuss all of this is FBI whistleblower Steve Friend. Steve is also a senior fellow for the Center for Renewing America, and you're the author of the book True Blue. Steve, I mean, it's no surprise that they're going to push FISA through again without any warrants. It's just strange to me that Speaker Mike Johnson, who claims to be a constitutional attorney and claims to be a man who prioritizes, you know, American values, would not support the warrant amendment. Why do you think he's missing that? And what do you make of all of this?
I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what FISA Section 702 actually is for and how it's being abused. Mm-hmm. So just having the initial F in there, as Senator Cornyn has talked about, being foreign, that's not enough. You need to understand that it is a tool for the federal law enforcement apparatus to use in a counterintelligence capacity to get signals, intelligence, communications electronically, like an email, that sort of thing, of someone who is not within the United States in a foreign country who is sponsored by a foreign government. Mm-hmm. But the FBI, the Attorney General, the FBI Director, they have said in front of Congress, in front of congressional testimony, that this is a vital tool for them to use to combat trans organized crime like drug trafficking on the southern border, because this tool is only useful if it's misused. This is very much like the parable of the farmer who buys land knowing that there is a buried treasure there.
Yeah.
They know by looking through those signals intelligence of foreign actors that they will be able to get at Americans that way. It's a backdoor around the Fourth Amendment because they're not interested in that foreign actor. They're interested in who they're talking to stateside, and they are able to circumvent Fourth Amendment protections by using FISA.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You said it's only useful if it's misused, and I think that's really important for Americans to understand. That's the reason why. I don't think a lot of members in Congress honestly understand that and get that. So as a former FBI agent, how is it being misused specifically on Americans? Do you have any examples that you witnessed firsthand?
Well, I can't reveal anything anecdotally because of classified, but I can just tell you in general. Let's say that there's a Russian actor who's interacting with an American. It might be something completely innocuous. It might be a media request. But if that person is being looked at, the Russian, using FISA 702, we'd be interested as a law enforcement agency in knowing who they're communicating with stateside, because we're able to actually arrest that person for committing a crime. And talking to that foreign actor is not necessarily a crime, but now we have a label and we're saying, well, they could be a tool of a foreign government. We should dig into them. And if nothing's there, but we don't like something about them, well, we'll just find a reason. We have our man, we can look for our crime.
You know, it's funny. There's actually a report that we're going to do in just a few moments with Arden Young from Sound Investigation. And they have a report of a CIA employee, a contractor, specifically saying we could get you for anything. And that's exactly what you're telling us, too. I think that's really being echoed here. The intelligence community knows that they could get you for anything. If you were talking to members of Congress right now who are going to take this up for a vote later this week, what would you advise them?
Well, I think that this needs to be the ring of power that needs to be cast into the fires and never accessed again. It's only useful if it's misused, and the FBI has a track record of abusing it and misusing it in the hundreds of thousands of times. Despite what Director Wray has said, that they have 98-99% compliance with their new standards, that's an admission from the FBI director, because it is used so broadly that they violate the Fourth Amendment thousands of times, even by following that 99% rubric. It's an admission that they have violated the Fourth Amendment rights of Americans in the thousands of times every year.
It's disgraceful. And I like how you said it, though. It's only useful if it's being misused. And I think that's what everyone needs to understand in this country right now. Steve Friend, thank you for joining us today. It's great to see you in Washington, D.C.
Great to be here with you.
Now, many of you probably need a history lesson, like we all do, regarding FISA and the roots behind it. And so joining us now to do so is FBI whistleblower Garrett O'Boyle. He's here to discuss all of it. Now, Garrett, you're not a historian, but you know a lot about this one. So I know our audience has a lot to learn from you. So talk us through how FISA even came about.
Yeah. So first of all, Brianna, thanks for having me on again. And it's awesome to be here in person with you. Yeah. But yeah, FISA was born out of essentially what should have been deemed illegal wiretaps on Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. So this is the history of FBI abuse. It goes back decades, many decades. It's not just now with people like me and Steve Friend and Kyle Serafin speaking out about the corruption that we saw. It goes back into its history. So Hoover basically had a massive bone to pick with MLK, and he just kept hammering the attorney general and the president. We need to wiretap him. We need to wiretap him. He's a communist. He's a communist. And they signed off on it. And so we're talking Robert F. Kennedy, the attorney general at the time, and JFK, the president at the time. But there was no FISA yet. Well, then fast forward a little bit. And well, also, not for nothing, the FBI also tried to get MLK to commit suicide. They sent him a letter basically saying, kill yourself or else we're going to leak information about you. So fast forward a little bit, and there's some people in, I think in Ohio, where they broke into an FBI office and they stole a bunch of files. And in those files were files on the FBI's COINTEL program. And that basically just stands for counterintelligence. And the FBI had this massive program. And because these people broke in and stole things from the government, Americans were able to learn about what the FBI was doing behind closed doors and essentially in secret. And so what happened out of that was the Church Committee in like the 70s. So eventually the Church Committee produces their report and they want to enact some of these changes. Well, one of the main things they enacted was FISA. And so FISA gets incorporated because they say this will be our stopgap. This will be how we ensure that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is used appropriately against potential, you know, evil or bad foreign actors against America. Well, let's fast forward a little bit more to 9/11. Post 9/11, we get the Patriot Act, which was established to deter and punish terrorism acts in America. Sounds great, right? We all think it sounds great. I remember even back then thinking, well, who wouldn't be for the Patriot Act? Because you must be a patriot because it's called the Patriot Act. How foolish. And in the Patriot Act, FISA was renewed, well, was altered in a way to give now the FBI different authorities. And in the law, in the Patriot Act, it says the FBI director now has the ability through FISA to produce any tangible items. So that includes even things like books that people would check out at a library. And now in this digital era we live in, it's a massive tranche of information. And so many things are digital with the FBI abuses that we've already seen. So in 2021 alone, so now we're jumping forward 20 more years, yeah. 3.4 million warrantless searches. A warrantless search is illegal. It's a violation of your Fourth Amendment right. But now Congress is going to renew FISA 702, where instead the FBI should be defunded, FISA should be stripped from them, and we need to figure out a different way to approach these things because what we've been doing for decades and decades and decades hasn't been working.
It hasn't been. And that's the problem here, right? We have, you know, so many members of Congress who are pretending to be worried about potential terror attacks here in the country when we have a wide open borders and everyone's flooding in. And so they're, I think they're going to use that to kind of validate FISA a little bit and the reason why we need to keep it going. But it's really not an excuse at all. We need border security instead. I want to talk about the Fourth Amendment, folks. That's what requires law enforcement to obtain a warrant in order to conduct searches and seizures of your property or privacy to inflict, you know, to go in your privacy. So, Garrett, how have they been able to get away with this? Because I don't understand how this hasn't been legally challenged throughout the years. It's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah. So the primary way they get away with it is because all of this stuff in the FBI, in the intelligence world relating to FISA, is classified. It's at least secret, if not classified, secret, no foreign. So that would be no foreign entity can look at it. And there are other different classifications, but what people really need to know is it's classified. And so what happens when an FBI agent or even in the NSA, because they deal with FISA as well, if you want to use the FISA Act to tap into somebody's information, you're supposed to get a warrant. But the warrant in the FISA system goes to something called the FISC, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. All of this is also classified. And we know, as of some reporting, I think back in 2014, so from the inception of FISA back in the 70s, post-Church Committee, to 2014, there was something like 38,000 FISA warrants. I could be off on the number, but if my memory is right, I think it was around there. And the FISC had approved those warrants like over 99% of the time. And there was like a two-digit number. I want to say it was around 13 or 14 times where the FISC said, no, we're not going to approve it. My question is, and I haven't ever been able to find the answer, is out of the ones that they rejected, how many of those just went back, rewrote it, took it back to the FISC, and then it got approved? And so there's almost a 100% success rate. And then when we look at things that happened with the last president and his campaign and people on his staff and how FISA was abused there, where we had an FBI employee who was a lawyer lying in an email, and that FISA was renewed. So it's a tool that is way off the rails. And I think, honestly, as a nation, we need to get back to true American roots of, am I willing to risk a little bit of my safety for freedom? And right now we have a government that says, no, we're going to make you safe no matter what. You're going to comply no matter what. If you speak out, we're going to crush you, and we are going to do whatever we want. And by and large, Americans have just taken that.
Yeah, it's disappointing that not enough Americans do push back. I think because it sounds like it's for their better, you know, their interest. It's not. It's being used against them. And, you know, we need to wake up and realize that. I know our audience understands, and that's why they're paying attention. That's why they're watching today. But it's just really upsetting. Garrett, you know, they're about to do this vote on the warrant requirement right now in the House. What would you advise members of Congress to do?
I mean, by and large, I would say you need to abolish the FBI's authority to even have this tool at this point. We have to figure out either a different agency or a different mechanism, because, yeah, like people crossing the border, there are legitimate purposes for law enforcement or intelligence agencies to really try to defend our nation. But the amount of abuses that has happened by just the FBI alone regarding FISA, it's a bridge too far. And so if you're not going to abolish it, you have to at least demand and make into law that the FBI has to get a warrant. And I know Christopher Wray and many others say, well, if we get the warrant, well, then we're not going to be able to do our job properly. You already are doing your job improperly by violating Americans' rights millions of times. In 1 year alone, it was 3.4 million. So I don't know how people haven't caught on to this. Like, that's tens of millions over decades. And yes, they claim, oh, well, we have put new fixes in place. Okay, well, let's at least wait on the report to see how effective those quote unquote fixes have been, because quite frankly, I have no trust in anything Christopher Wray or anybody else at the FBI tries to quote unquote fix.
Yeah. And I honestly don't trust any of their reports these days. I feel like they always downplay the numbers as well. I always say double it. Whatever they're telling you, just double it at this point. Garrett O'Boyle, thank you for joining us. It's good to see you in Washington, D.C.
Likewise. Thanks, Brianna.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.